This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the Besotted Pride of West London podcast, and we're back from our winter break. We're back in action, and we're ready for some action, as Brentford are, well, they're ready to go. They're raring to go, from what I can understand. And like I say to you, I mean, I'm Billy Grant, and I've missed my football for, well, it's been a bit, it's over a week, you know, 2 weeks pretty much. And I'm absolutely potty for it. And like I said, Billy Grant here with my buddy Laney, Davey Lane, in the virtual joint as we're getting ready for the Battle of the Luton Town, who are coming down to New Griffin Park this Wednesday. Laney, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm a bit like yourself, mate. I took the Brentford cancellations quite badly, if I'm honest with you. Obviously, it wasn't inevitable, but the amount of clubs that were getting COVID cases, it seems that there was always a chance that it could happen to us. Fortunately, we took our tests before calling the game off, unlike others. And you know, fortunately as well, that it seems like the players and their families have come through this. So the important thing is, you know, that we did what we had to do. We shut the training ground down. We cancelled the fixtures. And then we took all the precautions to make sure that everyone's recovered. And fingers crossed, it looks like we go strong against Luton on Wednesday night. So yeah, but having no football, having no bees, Bill, it's not great, is it?
It's not great. I mean, it's amazing. One of those things. I mean, we know we chatted quite a lot on that break, because all of a sudden you find there's a little bit of a gulf. There we go. And first of all, I have to say to you, everybody out there, first of all, thanks very much for your support. And also, we apologise for going missing last week. But it is one of those things where FA Cup weekend is interesting, because we were on the FA player for FA Cup weekend when we played Borough. It was a late game. So you, all of a sudden, you found yourself during the day finding yourself, what do I do during the day? So the word had gone around that the FA player was free. You can watch any game you wanted to. So I logged on, as many bees did, on our little WhatsApp ring, and watched the FA player. We all watched a lot of us watched the Doncaster game in the FA Cup as well, where Ellery Balcombe was making, I think it was his debut, actually. And he pulled off this tremendous double save. And you could tell how many people were watching, where everyone went, bing, what a save, what a save, what an amazing save, that was amazing, like, you know. So that was actually quite good. But I found myself for that whole weekend just watching wall-to-wall football, which is something that I don't normally do. I like to watch the Bees and maybe one game, another, but I'm not a mad keen person of watching football on TV. So going to wall-to-wall, it's almost like I embraced the FA Cup that weekend, you know, as for what it was. And there were some great games. I mean, obviously there's the Leeds game against Crawley, when Crawley knocked Leeds out of the cup, which was, it was just brilliant, wasn't it, Laney?
Yeah, that was an unexpected one. A proper cup upset. And as you say, you know, being in lockdown, it being bloody cold out there, you know, it's there's not really much to do. I mean, and obviously, you know, it sounds sad a bit to watch like a whole weekend's worth of football, but you know, what else really is there to do? You could watch a whole weekend's worth of films. You know, I've done pretty much every other chore I needed to do. I've even moved house in blooming lockdown. So, you know, it's one of them weekends where you just had to sit down and chill. And it was almost like anesthetic, really. You just kind of like numbed the dullness of like a lockdown bees-free weekend. And the cup upset. And in the cup draw, obviously, on the Monday night, it was... a little bit exciting, at least.
Yeah, it was. And the thing about the double cup draw, because we're actually in the fifth round, which is pretty amazing. But I mean, the thing about it as well is, like, with you know, talking about the FA Cup, I mean, a lot of people moan about the FA Cup, and we knew that we weren't going to play a strong side, a first, you know, a 100% first team. But the thing is, I actually really enjoyed the FA Cup that weekend, probably more than I've enjoyed it in a very long time, because normally it's like, yeah, whatever. There were the upsets. There's also our game as well, which actually was quite a good game against Borough. You know, we went toe-to-toe against them, and it's almost like because we played the team that we played and they played the team that they played, they actually went for it. So I thought that was actually sort of quite good. So it was quite enjoyable. But the funny thing is that obviously the game was off. We had two games off, the midweek game and then the following Saturday game, and that was like a real, oh no. And then the following weekend, we had to try and find something to do again. But it actually turned up quite good again, because there was I watched wall-to-wall football on that Saturday. There was the Borough game versus Birmingham, which is a bit rubbish in the morning, which you saw that one. You were keeping your fingers crossed that maybe it might be a draw, you know, but in the end, probably Birmingham sort of kind of winning that game probably did us a favour. Then after that, the Leeds game as well. And again, the amount of Brentford games that are watched and fans that are watching the Leeds game. And when Maupay scored that goal, I mean, my phone just lit up. It was a moment, wasn't it, Lainey?
Yeah, you could tell there's beef there, but he had beef with no Leeds fans because there was none there this time. But the thing that made me laugh, that he would have done exactly the same if there was 20,000 Leeds fans behind that goal.
So Lainey, explain. I mean, some people might not have actually seen and know what you're talking about. So what exactly happened?
Well, he scored a penalty up at Elland Road 3 years ago, was it?
And it was Dean Smith's last match.
That's right.
So yeah, that's right.
And he just went in front of the Leeds fans and with his arms, wide like a crucifix, and he just got dog's abuse. And obviously, there's that brilliant photograph online of just these snarling, rabid Leeds supporters, you know, throwing every obscenity that they know at him, and he just looks like he's loving it. And he got dog's abuse for that, which, you know, you probably quite expect that to go like full at the Leeds supporters.
But I would say, and sorry to interrupt you there, but Lainey, but to be fair, he was actually getting abuse before that, him and also Ollie Watkins, because Ollie Watkins went down and he got the penalty, and they thought that Ollie Watkins had dived, so the Leeds fans were giving absolute dog's abuse to Ollie Watkins, the referee, everybody in and around the penalty at the time. So when he went up to take the penalty, he was getting more dog's abuse. So that's why when he scored, he went up to them with his arms outstretched, because we were up there. Remember, we went up there for the game as well. It was a very early kickoff as well. We were there with the Swedish bees. And so that was why it was. So it was kind of justified in a way, I think.
And then for him to do it again, but this time add the, like, both fingers going round and round his head like they're absolutely crazy. He's just laughing to himself. So, he had a giggle. I think there's a lot of people in Yorkshire weren't laughing.
They weren't laughing as well. And you said that. I mean, he did that the third time, but he also did it the second time at Griffin Park as well when he scored. And
again, of course he did, yeah.
And the thing is, I've told this story a few times, and a lot of people say, yeah, that was that didn't happen awards. But this is the honest truth, and it did happen. I think Bahraini B, he was with me there at the team hotel. We played Derby a few weeks before we played Leeds, and we played Derby. We went to the team hotel just because the Bahraini B was staying at the team hotel at the Novotel. So I went to meet him in the early morning. I think we'd gone out the night before as well, so it was a long night. And then I got up, met him the following morning. We went down there, had a little bit of drink and a catch up, and then all the players came out and they were chilling out, hanging out in the bar as they do. And And Andy was coming up there, goes, let's get a few photos, chat to him. So we started to chat to a few of them, chat to Camo, chat to Canos, and then obviously started to chat to Neil Maupay. And it was interesting because beforehand, when I used to speak to Maupay, he didn't speak very good English, so it was quite difficult. But this time, he'd obviously started to pick up the English thing, so it was kind of great. And when I spoke to him as well, he was so open. So I said, you know, right, Neil, how are you doing? He's going, yeah, how are you going? I said, like, you know, he said, you've got to beat Derby today, man. You know, we had to beat them because they're like, you know, they're giving it a bit large. We need to. So, oh, yeah, okay, that'd be great. I said something, you know, when you played Leeds that time, it was brilliant when you stood up in front of the fans with your arms outstretched. And he went, yes. After that, they gave me so much abuse for about 6 months because it just kept on going on. It was really strange. I've never had that before. And I said, yeah, that's what happens with Leeds fans. Like, you know, they just kind of get a bone and then they go with it. And then I said to him, tell you something, we're playing Leeds in a couple of weeks' time. Please, 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 please score against them. And if you do, please go up to the Leeds fans and do that celebration again. And he just went, okay. And it was just brilliant. And the way he said, and I thought, yeah, right, he would do it. And then when he scored and he did it, I was just laughing. So that's why when he did it this time, and there was no Leeds fans, but he went up to the Leeds fans section and did it, I was absolutely in tears. And they were definitely triggered online as well. They weren't happy at all. And we have to see whether or not he continues to do it every time, whether he'll do it when he goes up to Elland Road towards the back end of the season. But Neil Maupay, you've got to love him. I've got to ask the question, is that the most iconic Brentford goal celebration ever, Laney? What do you reckon?
I don't know about iconic. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's great. I still remember Terry Evans whenever he scored with just one arm up in the air, just like with one finger. We've had a couple of somersaulters as well, haven't we?
Awusu with his roofing.
Rowan Alexander, his little skippy when he did his little roly poly.
Badge kissing.
Yeah, badge kissing. We've had a few, but oh, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a shame he's not, you know, it wasn't a Brentford player again scoring up at Elland Road on the weekend in the Premier Division, but there you go.
Yeah, there you go. But listen, anyway, that was absolutely, tell you something, but we're only talking about that because we've got no football to talk about last weekend. But I'll tell you something, what we are going to talk about, tell you something, is that, you know, the one thing you do when there's no football, you look around and you maybe tack back a little bit and you just chill out and you do a bit of reading, you do a bit of watching, you just see what's going on, you might do some different things. And I just thought, let me catch up and see who's been supporting us, been writing nice things about us, been doing things. And what I have to say, first of all, on the Ko-fi front, besotted.com/beer, thank you very much for your support. Obviously, we haven't had a podcast for a couple of weeks, so we haven't had a chance to tip our hats to you. But I would like to say thank you very much, Jem, who, you know, bought us a beer and just said, cheers, boys. And I say, cheers, Jem. Thank you very much. And also, Ian Drinkwater, a small gesture of thanks for me for the hours of entertainment and insight you've provided over recent years, and especially during these tough COVID times, you know. So Ian,
thank you, Ian, cheers, mate.
Thank you very much for your support as well. Yeah, cheers, mate, as well. Robert Keane, he's always there in and around. Good chat with the exiled Robin, which was cheers for that. We chatted with the exiled Robin, the Bristol City supporter, and then they called the game off, but it was still a good chat with him anyway. He says, looking forward to the match on Wednesday, which didn't happen. Laney was scathing about Bristol. Yeah, I think you were quite scathing. I wasn't on that podcast, actually, Laney. I just left you to it, didn't I?
Rant. It was a proper rant. Yeah.
That's right. Good old rant. And so Kevin Sawyer, he's always in there. Thank you very much, Kevin. It's all good. And also, we haven't asked you to talk to us about iTunes, because we always like for you to leave a review on iTunes, and we haven't really kept tabs on iTunes because we don't get a notification any time that you actually put something up on iTunes. But I was just again, time to spare, having a little read around, I thought, oh, I've actually missed this this little lovely little comment that was put up on iTunes. And if you want to go to iTunes, give us a comment, give us a like, do whatever you want to. It just pushes it up the ranks, apparently. But Johnny Ross Tatham, and I tell you something, I'm going to read out the whole thing, I think, because it's quite long, but it's, you know, what else have we got to talk about? It's got no football to talk about. I've been meaning to write this review for a while. It's a long one, being in lockdown up north, not being able to go to games, see my Bees mates and chat to other Bees fans on a Saturday has been tough, but this podcast has made me feel like every week I get to experience a bit of that. Listening to this podcast has been an essential part of my weekly routine since I started listening in June. Oh, he's quite a new listener. Well, thank you very much, Johnny. Well, thanks for listening. I never miss it. In fact, I've listened to it so much that I feel like I've gotten to know Billy, Laney, the Allard, and the team, despite having never met them. I've absorbed the podcast so much I've even started saying listen, like Billy in daily conversations, which has made my girlfriend wonder where I've picked this up, this new habit up from. As for the content, I'm a big fan of the cool-headed, even-handed analysis. I even feel too worried about things if things aren't going right on the pitch. Laney always seems to add some much-needed perspective. I'm a big fan of the spreadsheet winker segment. It gives us a clearer idea of where we're doing the right things on the pitch. As we know, football results have a way of surprising and not reflecting how teams are playing, unlike high-scoring games like basketball, which is why we love it. A bit of the old JB stats and his funk is what I love. Finally, I think the biggest reason why I love this podcast is because it promotes the right values, the values which are integral to our club. The podcast isn't exclusive, it's welcoming of all fans, whoever they are, and however long they might be supporting the Bees, it makes you feel like any of us Bees could go on the podcast, which you can do. Or maybe on the post-match podcast from the pub, which you can do, and be welcomed as one of the Bees family. Also, I love the fact that Billy and his team don't shy away from the important conversations that need to be had about issues off the pitch. I love the episode when Billy talked about the now former FA chairman's comments on race and gender, why they were so wrong, and they have no place in our club in the 21st century. I'm proud of our club, I'm proud of our fans, and the Besotted podcast. Thank you, boys. Keep it up. Come on, you Bees. So that was Johnny Ross Tatham.
Well done. Blimey.
Thank you very much. That was a bit of a blimey. So, yeah, listen, no football, but, you know, we've got to tap ourselves on the back and, you know, just say thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you very much for the big ups there. But I've got to be honest with you, Laney. I mean, I've looked at that review and look, Johnny's come in and he's a lovely bloke. But he also is Johnny come lately. I mean, he's not been there for years, has he? He's just come in at the last minute. And
he confessed it.
He did confess it. And he talked about all the things that he loves. He loves the spreadsheet winker. He loves JB's funk. He loves, you know, the Allard. He loves the stats. He loves all our inclusivity.
No.
And I was thinking, oh, we've got it all wrong, lady. Got it all wrong. With this podcast, it's just got too gimmicky. It's got too gimmicky. It is gimmicky. Mm. And yeah. I've made a decision. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to get rid of it all. It's all gone.
All of it?
All of it. Let's get rid of it all. All the gimmicks.
Well, every bit of it? Oh, the gimmicks.
Every bit. All the gimmicks, mate.
Well, what like?
Well, for a start, Liberal Nick. All right.
Oh, yeah. Well, he can go. Yeah.
That's right, you know.
Yeah.
Liberal Nick, you know, he's come on and he's posh and he talks about this and he doesn't really know what he's talking about half the time. And we all laugh about it. But no! Gimmicks, he's got to go.
No more tractor jokes.
No more tractor jokes. And this new Liberal that's come in, has a bit of a joke about him coming as well. He can go as well, like, you know what I'm saying?
Sack him right off.
Laney, I mean, any thoughts from you? I mean
well, now you mention it, mate, the Dutchman, he's not even Dutch, is he?
He's not Dutch at all, is he?
No,
I mean, what a gimmick.
Gimmick.
He just thought, cheap laughs.
Stupid nicknames.
That's right, stupid nicknames.
Stupid nicknames, stupid guests.
Stupid guests. So tell us how we're getting all these women on the show as well. I mean, gimmick. God, Jesus Christ.
Political correctness gone mad.
It is absolutely ridiculous. They can go. Anyone else?
About JB and his...
Funk.
And his...
Funk.
It's just facts, isn't it? Just old rubbish.
And JB's not even really his name. We've just made it up, haven't we? And it's funk. He probably doesn't even like funk, does he?
About a winker.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I was waiting for you to mention him.
What, Noel, proper Noel.
Oh, he's a proper Noel. Absolutely. He's got to go as well.
And about exclusive interviews with, like, the DOFs and Benham.
Matthew Benham, he's got to go.
Robin our club blind.
Thomas Frank, Frank out.
Frank Wright out, yeah, he can go.
That's right, he could go as well. The Allards, geez, everyone keeps talking, keep mentioning him. He's been slipping in quite a lot recently, so he's got to go as well.
No, I think we'll keep him.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I think we should strip it right back. I think that'll do.
Back to basics.
That's right. So there I think we've got it all sorted now. You know, we want our podcast back, you know what I mean, lady?
Away fan.
Nah, get rid of them. Get rid of them all. Actually, we'll have one last one on this one, and then that's it. Done. Gone.
Just a hatter.
Yeah, just a hatter, and then be done. So I feel that's it.
So just me and you then.
Tell you something, just like the old days, Laney. Tell you something, it's like, you know, like proper old school, like proper football club, proper podcast, mate. None of this gimmicks nonsense. Yeah, you know. So I feel a bit better after doing that. So come on, Laney, let's talk about some real stuff now.
Come on then, let's do it.
So that was a bit of a reaction, maybe just to how I've been feeling over the past few weeks. I just thought, tell you something, just get rid of it all. Get rid of it all, because you're feeling a little bit angsty, a little bit anxious, feeling a little bit down, a little bit glum. And there's nothing wrong with feeling down or glum, you know, as a football fan, as a person, just whatever. Because listen, these are really dark times we're in at the moment now. And if you're feeling like that, you should definitely try and talk to somebody, whoever it may be. Reach out to us, reach out to your friends, reach out to just whoever, and just talk to somebody. And like you say, you know, we were thinking about that because I was thinking, tell you something, you know, without football, it is a little bit glum. And then Lainey, you thought, yeah, without football, for us, it is a little bit glum. And then you decided to run a poll to ask people, you know, how glum would you feel? How depressed would you feel without football? How will it affect your mental health? And you ran that poll. And how did it go, Lainey?
Yeah, I was really surprised, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously, the backdrop was that games were being pulled left, right and centre, and teams were starting to play with weakened teams, especially in the FA Cup that weekend. Derby fielded a team of basically juniors and they lost to Chorley pretty much because of that. And it seemed that the COVID noose was getting ever so tighter around the game itself, as well as obviously, you know, in the general public and the, you know, out and about. And I the thought of it made me shiver a bit, and I just thought, oh God, what happens if Brentford stops? Because I'm pretty much in a routine of, you know, I'm working from home, I've walked 100 miles last week, 100 kilometres last week. I started running again on other days as well, and I've got plenty to be doing, but that's all kind of wrapped around a routine of Brentford games coming up. It's a focus, and I just thought, without that, I did actually kind of shiver, as I said. So I put the poll out, and basically over 60% of people said that their mental health was going to be significantly adversely affected. So 46% said they would be adversely affected for sure. Their mental well-being and health would be affected for sure. And then 25% said they would have a significant effect on their mental health if football was pulled. And it just shows you that, you know, although 30% said, you know, neither positive or negative effect. So that's quite a lot of people as well. But the majority of people, it shows, are kind of reliant to some degree on football keeping them focused, keeping them sane, for want of a better word. You know, we've got, you know, everyone's got money issues, everyone's got concerns, jobs, relationships, all kinds of issues. But football is one thing that kind of keeps us football fans on the straight and narrow in many cases. So yeah, I was kind of shocked to think that 25% would be significantly affected. How about you, Bill?
I wasn't particularly surprised, no, because I think, you know, and I think stark reality sort of kind of hit with people, and I think it's been quite a long time and there's been a light at the end of the tunnel. And I think the light, which has been at the end of the tunnel for so long for people, you know, the summer, I was looking at, you know, we're looking at the summer, and then we thought, okay, after the summer, it's going to be the autumn, and then we're looking towards Christmas, and then Christmas came, and then all of a sudden the rug was pulled from us. I think a lot of people went, oh, Jesus, here we go again. And you're thinking, where's it going to be? And then, I'll be honest with you, I actually have got no idea when it's going to be. You know, they're talking about possibly February, you know, or March even, or maybe even April. And I think when that happened, and also our games were called off, and that is a bit of an outlet for people. And when the games were called off, I think a lot of, especially for our crew, just went, I feel really bad, because I actually just kind of like, I just realised that I was relying so much on football. I was going from, like, you know, working, you know, around my kitchen table to going to bed to watching a box set, you know, doing this every single day, but looking forward, counting down to the game on a Saturday. Mm. And when that didn't happen, I think people just thought, you know, not saying what else am I living for, but they just realised that was a massive part of what keeps them going has been removed. And I think it just goes to show you how important football is for a lot of people. Listen, I know there's other things that are really important for people in and around the world. I'm not denying that as well, but we live in this football world and we realise that how much this kind of keeps us jumping and keeps us going and keeps us pumping. I mean, like, you know, last week we didn't do a podcast because, quite frankly, you know, I found it really difficult to literally open up the computer once again, rather than go down the pub, because we haven't, you know, because we're not allowed to, and talk about kind of something or nothing because there was no game. And yeah, we had some ideas in our head of what we can do when there was no game, and we've got some brilliant ideas actually, but the motivation had kind of gone, and you just realise how difficult it is for you to keep yourself going the whole time. I know a lot of people kind of hear us, you know, at the moment now I'm buzzing and I'm jumping and I'm like, and it felt like, you know, having a good time. But to be honest with you, it is really hard to do a lot of these podcasts during lockdown a lot of the time, because, you know, I'm sure like a lot of other Beast fans are feeling out there, who are feeling despondent and feeling lonely or feeling pissed off or feeling like, Christ, I'm really sick of this. But, you know, I suppose with us, you know, I feel like that, but then you feel like when you whip up the computer, you put the microphone on, and then it's not you're putting on a front, you just sort of think, tell you something, I'm a bit of a, you know, a glass half full type person, so I like to look on the positive rather than the negative. A lot of people do that, I'm not putting it on, that's just the way that I am. So I just, you know, I come on and I try to sort of kind of do the bright side of things, but it doesn't mean that I'm trying to mask the fact that it is a bit dark out there, the fact that a lot of people are going to be despondent out there. And like I said to you, if anybody is feeling despondent and unhappy and they want to talk, you know, you feel happy to talk to us, you can, you know, message us, or direct message us or email us, or whatever you have to do, just do that, because we know that everyone out there is feeling exactly the same, and no one, you know, has got a magic wand to make everyone feel happy or jolly, because everyone's going through different things in their life. It could be job things, or you know, family things, or, you know, marital things, or just, you know, it just might be the fact that you can't get out and exercise like you used to be able to do, you know, and that's just actually got you down. So for me, I completely understand it, and it's just, you know, how do we get through this thing together? And yep, the poll came out and I think it was, you know, it was spot on, but I think it's a case of how do we kind of make everybody see a bright side of things. To me, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah, as we know, you know, you may be into vaccine or not into vaccine. We're not getting involved in that conversation, but whether or not you are, you're not into it, it's happening, and it's going to be happening, and it's going to be getting us to the stage where we're actually going to be able to go to football in the short term rather than the long term. So I think for me, that is the positive side of things, and we just have to hope with these 24-hour hospitals that are kind of like, just, you know, which are vaccine centres, which they've just started to open up and things like that. I'm thinking with all things like this, I think that we should feel positive, and let's call it 6 weeks. I think, you know, with 6 weeks, we're going to have a proper light at the end of the tunnel. I hope that foresight makes you feel a little bit better anyway.
Weirdly, you say that. My mum has just WhatsApped me to say that my dad has got his vaccination in Walton tomorrow at 4:40. So, yeah, so that's, again, it's just, it's becoming more regular. And if we can get, you know, as many people vaccinated as is possible, as you said, in the next month, 6 weeks, there's probably a chance that, you know, by the time we get to the summer, life could be back. But, you know, we're seeing some proper grim numbers still, Bill. You know, it's actually quite close in terms of, you know, the amount of people that I know that have been, you know, affected, got it, mates of theirs got it, mums and dads have got it. So and as you said, you know, that poll, I think it also shows how much we rely on Brentford just to be there, just for that focus during our week. So hopefully that's out of our way. We've got our Brentford COVID scare gone, and we can look forward to a run of people moan about Saturday, Wednesday, but really, you know, if they can squeeze another one in during that, it'd be quite good for me.
No, listen, and same with me. I mean, I've known people who are actually very close to me, mates of mine I used to run with as well, who have actually died of COVID as well. People actually that you might know as well, Lainey, that you've known back in the day when you used to come to my parties, you know, sort of kind of 20 odd years ago. ago as well. So, and again, they're perfectly healthy, perfectly happy characters, and it's just happening. I'm not trying to put a downer on this podcast at all, but what I'm trying to say to you is that when these things happen, it is very real. And when you start getting the COVID deniers and the mask deniers and all this lot sort of doing their thing and saying their thing and giving the 5G thing, you know, I just have to bite my lip, because I'm just sort of thinking, you know, I'm not being funny, but I just need to move. Let's just move on, because, you know, these people are not really helping. Because it's when somebody's sort of kind of quite close to you, or somebody that you know gets affected by it. And like I said to you, this, I know probably about four or five people that have actually died of COVID who have been in my circle, have been in my close circle, who are not over 70 as well. You know, we're talking about younger people and also people who are still in intensive care. So it is a real thing, and we need to take it very seriously. So, and that's why, part of the reason why when we say, listen, we've got to stay in, or football's got to be off. I mean, we talked the other day about whether or not the season should be curtailed. And I just said to myself, I said, not be funny, but if it's got to be curtailed, it's got to be curtailed. Because if it's getting that bad, if it's got the stage where we can't even put matches together, and the fact is that I'm quite a safe person, but I'm a little bit kind of nervous when I go out to the supermarket, to all these other places, and I'm thinking, tell you what, I might take a couple of steps back, and you know, I made sure that my kids, you know, went to school before Christmas. I took a few precautions with my kids with school before Christmas, because I saw it was kicking off a little bit then. I was thinking, what's best for the family and maybe for the people around us, as opposed to what's being told. So I made a few little precautions then, because what you have to do is you do what's best for yourself, as opposed to sometimes what you're being told to do. And I think that's the main thing with most people here. I think most people are being very sensible in doing what they think is best for themselves. Yeah, there's a bit of guidance out there, and yeah, that might be cool, but it's so all over the place. You have to kind of be pretty sensible in your own self and say, tell you what, this is what I think needs to happen in my life. And I think that's right. And I thought football, at one stage, I thought they needed to take a bit of a break for 2 or 3 weeks, because I thought it was getting a little bit out of control. But maybe, fingers crossed, they're going to get it back in control, and everything will be fine. And that really weighs up between this whole thing about us having football missing, because we've talked about how much we miss football for just 1 week. If it was missing for 3 or 4 weeks, we'd miss it massively. But at the same time, I want things to be back to normal. I don't want to be sitting in front of my TV watching football. I want to be in the stadium watching football. And the quicker we can do that, the better. So if we have to do something to make that happen, if we have to stop watching football for a few weeks so we can make that happen quicker, I'm all for that.
Absolutely. I can't wait to be round a pub doing these podcasts with our chums.
Listen, we've talked about it. We're not trying to bring it down, but listen, different type of podcasts, and sometimes you've got to talk about these things. And like I said to you, I hope you Beast fans out there are feeling up, or feeling positive about the future. The future is looking bright, but we just need to stick with it and stick together for a few more weeks, maybe a few more months, and then we'll be back. We'll be back in the stands, we'll be back on the terraces, we'll be watching football, and life will be back to normal, you know, before we know it. It's just difficult to see it now. So listen, Beast fans, stick in there. And also, if you are feeling down, if you feel that you need someone to talk to, go and talk to Calm, which is the campaign against living miserably. Calm, or it's the Calm Zone as it is on social media. Go and check them out. They're a very, very good charity. We've done lots of things with them in the past, and they will definitely set you straight. They'll be a very good ear for you to actually bend. But anyway, look, talking about coming your bees, we've got a game coming up. We've got a game against Luton coming up. We are going to talk to the man who knows all about Luton, Lewis Williams. He's a vlogger, but he's going to give us the lowdown on Luton Town.
Hello, my name's Lewis Williams, and I'm a Luton fan. I run a YouTube channel called Lewis Williams, where I talk everything Luton. Now, our start to the season, we won our first 3 league games out of the first 4. A great start by us. I don't think many fans expected that. But I felt the teams we were playing on paper, I thought they were beatable. And yeah, I think the results which we got were deserved, because we did put in some good performances. And I think looking back at them results now, I think we should have beaten those teams. But since then, we've been very inconsistent. Just like most mid-table championship sides, inconsistency. That's what separates you from being in the playoffs to being a mid-table side. We've had so many inconsistent results. You know, we don't win back-to-back league games. We don't lose back-to-back league games that often. You know, it's win, draw, lose, win, draw, lose. You know, it's roughly like that, really, and it has been since the start of the season. Now, at the back, we've been a lot better, and that's the major difference from last season. Under Graham, we just couldn't stop teams scoring against us, but this year we've kept a lot more clean sheets. The stats prove that, and that all comes down to Nathan Jones, really. Nathan, since he's come back, he's improved the defence massively. Well, if you look at it from last year, this wasn't Graham's team, you know, and the recruitment didn't really help that either. And he just couldn't get the best out of these players. But Nathan, he signed majority of these players who are playing in our team now, and he knows them quite well, and he got the best out of them. He got a reaction out of them, you know, and that's why we stayed up last year. And that's why this year we've pushed on. You know, we're not near the relegation zone. Our fans don't think we're going to get relegated. We're quite comfortable that we're not going to go down. And we're putting in some really good performances this year. And we are getting some surprise results. Like, not many supporters, including myself, thought we would get a win at home to Norwich and an away win to Bournemouth, you know. So we are getting a few surprise results, but we are putting in those performances in to get those results. It's just we're not doing it on a consistent basis. Now, if we can start adding that bit of consistency to our game and going forward, improve a little bit because we're not the best in front of goal, then we could potentially push for a playoff place. But I don't think we will. So, it depends on not how well we do in the January transfer window. If we sort the problems in the squad now, then we maybe be able to push for it. But I think that's being a little bit too ambitious. Now, I owe this season to Nathan Jones. I think Nathan Jones, he's got the best out of these players massively. Like I've said, he's managed to get a reaction out of them, and he's actually improved them quite massively. You know, Sonny Bradley, Pearson, they are twice the player which they were last year, so I'm very happy with that. And also, I think it helps having a year championship experience as well. I think that plays a massive part, because a lot of our players last year, they just weren't championship experienced. They didn't understand the championship. They're new to the league. Now they've had a year under their belt, I feel like they're more comfortable. They're not scared. And the players we brought in as well have also improved the squad. Our recruitment last year, like I said, was bad. But this year, it's a lot better. Signing Dewsbury Hall has been our player of the season. He's been amazing. He will be a Premier League player next year. Championship is not his level. Technically, he's very good. He makes everything work in the midfield for Luton. And without Dewsbury Hall, I don't know where Luton would be, if I'm being honest. He literally makes everything work in that midfield. And I have a feeling he's going to do it again against Brentford. He's just an amazing player. And I do think he will be playing in the Premier League for Leicester. And if he isn't playing in the Premier League for Leicester, then he will go out on loan to another Premier League club, because their fans rate him quite highly. And the Luton fan base love him. So I can see him obviously going on to bigger and better things. And also the signing of Tom Lockyer from Charlton. He's been a very good addition at the back. I think he's been one of the main reasons as well why we've kept so many clean sheets this season. And Simeon Sluger as well. He had a poor start to the championship when he first arrived in England, but since then, he hasn't looked back. And under Nathan Jones, he's keeping more clean sheets. He's making more like key saves, and he's really helped us this season. Now, out of all the teams we've played so far in the Championship, the one team which stands out for me is Brentford. I think Brentford was the hardest game we've played on paper. Yes, we did get beat by our rivals, Watford, but on that day, we were just poor. We were just awful. We just didn't turn up, you know. But I felt the game against Brentford, you made us work. You limited us. To not actually attack you properly. You took your chances when you did. And to be fair, I saw a great team, and a team which shouldn't be at this level, a team which should get promotion to the Premier League. And by far, you have been our hardest game so far this season. Yes, Luton don't do well against certain teams who like to play defensively. So your Millwalls, your Cardiffs, your Middlesbrough, those types of teams which play that style of play. But a team which play football correctly, in my opinion, which is Brentford, we struggled massively against you guys, and hopefully we don't struggle in this game coming up. But in this game coming up against Brentford, I do think we may have a little advantage over you guys. I think we'll be fitter. Brentford obviously have missed a few league games now due to COVID, and I reckon we could take advantage of that. We had a little COVID outbreak ourselves, and we noticed once we returned back in the game against QPR, we just did not look fit at all, and QPR looked the sharper team, despite QPR having like 120 minutes played in the FA Cup, the game before us. So it just shows you, when you have a break like that, it can actually be a disadvantage. And hopefully in this game against Brentford, we show that we are a much fitter side, the sharpness is there, and hopefully that could obviously potentially open up an option for us to get a result at Brentford, which would be amazing and would be a big improvement from last year, which we all know what happened, where we lost 7-0. Fingers crossed that doesn't happen again. But the one thing which I'm very happy about is Josh De Silva, the man who scored a hat-trick against us last time, is not playing. So that is the one big positive there. However, though, Brentford do have a dangerous player with Ivan Toney, a goal scorer. You got your Ollie Watkins replacement by him. You know, he's scoring the goals for you guys. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being the top goal scorer in the Championship this year, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him play in the Premier League next year. He's a great striker, and we need to make sure that he does not score again against us. My score prediction in this game, I want to say 1-1 because of how Brentford have had that long break, but I got a feeling that you guys are going to win 2-1. I just don't think we're going to be consistent enough in getting back-to-back wins. It'd be amazing if we can, but we've got two bigger games as well coming up, with Chelsea away in the FA Cup on the weekend and then Blackburn the week after. So I reckon a draw would be fantastic, but I have a feeling that Brentford, despite me saying that Luton are going to be the fitter side, will win 2-1 at home, I think. So yeah, that is my score prediction.
So there we have it, Lewis Williams from Luton Town. Very, very good blogger. Go and check him out on his blogs on YouTube. You can check him out on Twitter. You could check him out. He's all over the show. And Luton, fingers crossed, they're not going to be all over the show on Wednesday night, because they've been doing quite well, actually, as of late. And I'm a little bit nervous about this game. I mean, Luton Town, everyone thought they were going to go down last season, and miraculously they changed their manager, they flipped the script, they saved themselves, and to be quite honest with you, it wasn't even that close towards the back end of that season. Like, you know, they saved themselves, they stayed up, and then this season, you know, they've done all right, man. You know, Jonesy, as he does at Stoke City, just wasn't the right place for him, but Luton is the right type of club for him, and he's obviously just doing the right things. He's just turning the right switches, and turning the right knobs, and they're doing all right. And I have to admit, I'm a little bit nervous. I mean, Luton Town, their strengths, you know, if they go ahead protecting the lead, they're very good at that. But you know, there are things that we can actually kind of work on there. You know, they're, you know, defending against attacks down the wings, which is our key area as well. If we can get our wing backs working on that one in the air, they're not great. So you know, if we can get Ethan Pinnock up there, you know, if we can get, you know, our players up front to be doing, you know, to Ivan Toney get the ball on his head, that'd be good for us as well. And also, they're not good at avoiding individual errors, so if we could pick up on that in the midfield, because the midfield battle is going to be the big one, and defending it against through ball attacks again. So these are the areas which we can actually kind of just turn the screw on them. But I'm nervous about this Luton game, especially us being out for a few weeks, having no, you know, training ground being sharp, you know, the players not being together. I'm a little bit nervous about that, but saying that, when we came back after lockdown, we seemed to do all right, didn't we, Laney?
Yeah, we did. I hear what you're saying about Luton. You know, they seem to be able to kind of get very well organised in some games against free-flowing attacking teams. We saw that at Kenilworth Road last year, when they beat us 2-1. But we went to Kenilworth Road this year and we did a job on them. It was a fairly comfortable 3-0 win in the end. But Luton, you know, they beat Bournemouth at the weekend, 1-0 down at Dean Court, and they drew at Kenilworth Road 0-0 as well. So So they're really able to sort of knuckle down, although Luton did lose 2-0 to QPR last week. So, you know, they're slightly erratic. I think it's one of those games where if we can score early and we can get ahead, we might be doing all right. I think it's they're a kind of team that if you don't get your breakthrough, if you kind of start to struggle and you splutter, then they can take advantage. So I'm hoping that we go strong, get a good start, get a lead, and then build on it rather than kind of trying to break them down and it getting second halves, 60 minutes, 70 minutes, 75, and we haven't got a breakthrough, then I think it could turn a little bit aggy. So, yeah, but being well, we should be able to beat them still, Bill.
It's interesting. I mean, Lewis there, I think he was doing those psychologicals on us, like, you know, he's turned around and he said 2-1 to Brentford. Brentford going to win, but, you know, Dewsbury Hall is, you know, is their player of the season. And that Dewsbury Hall, he's some player. I mean, I've seen him play quite a few times as well for Luton, and he looks fabulous, you know. And that battle in the midfield is going to be a big one. They've got Rhea as well in the midfield as well, who's very aggressive, and, you know, him and Chanel might be kicking lumps out of each other as well. Well, you know, which should be quite interesting. We also got Collins as well up front, who scored 6 goals so far as well this season. You know, even though, you know, 4 in the league, I think, and a couple in the cup. You know, so he's one to, you know, he's putting the ball in the back of the net. So, you know, we need to look out for this team. But when we went up to Luton, to be fair, also, we did do a proper job on them, didn't we? The 3-0, I think it was, wasn't it, Laney?
Yeah, it was 3-0. Rico got the first goal, a bit of a deflection on it, but it was a great shot. Ivan Toney scored, and Marcus Force got the last one. The other thing I will say is Luton have got an FA Cup trip to Stamford Bridge on Sunday. They're playing Chelsea. I'm not saying they're going to be distracted, but it might be in one or two of their minds that they don't really want to miss that game. So, you know, it's a game where we have to get maximum points though from, because, you know, we've had 2 games off. We've got those 2 games in the bank, as it were. But we need to catch up. You know, we were sort of second after beating Bournemouth a couple of weeks back, and we've slipped back. But, you know, it's all within our grasp. It's a couple of results have gone our way, basically. You know, obviously Bournemouth dropping points last Saturday. So, yeah, it will be great to get 3 points under our belts, definitely.
It will. And just looking at the team, because obviously, like I said, we've been pretty much off for a couple of weeks, or, you know, we've been off since the Bournemouth game, really, I suppose, because we had the Bournemouth game, which we were in effect our first team, then we played the FA Cup, which we played a second string team in the FA Cup. We were Bristol City game, we were off, sorry, then we had the FA Cup game, which we were a second string team, and then we've had 2 games off.
We had Tottenham as well.
Oh, we've had the Tottenham game as well, which was, I can't even remember when the Tottenham, I mean, there's so many games, it's all over the place, you know what I'm saying? So we had the Tottenham game as well, which was a first string team for that as well. But, you know, having a couple of games off now, but, you know, again, we're presuming that everybody is back, you know, and going to be fit and well post this COVID scenario. I mean, what team are you looking at? You know, I mean, obviously we're looking at going as strong as we possibly can. You know, but I mean, what you saying? Because we need to, you know, we need to go for it. And I know we like this rotation thing, but don't forget we have got an FA Cup game against Swansea. No, the Swansea game's gone, so we've got a Leicester FA Cup game on the Saturday. But the thoughts here are that we're going to be playing very much a second string team in that FA Cup game, which will allow us to go strong against Luton. Don't you think, Laney?
Yeah, I don't see there being any changes from the Tottenham match, as far as I can see. I think Pontus has had an operation, so he won't be playing. That's common knowledge, isn't it?
Other than De Silva, of course, who is suspended.
Oh, suspended. Yeah, of course. That's a good one. Yeah, so that's the kind of one position I'm sort of like wondering who he's going to play in there, but. I don't think, you know, we need to sort of over worry about that position. I think Marcondes can come in, and, you know, I thought Godos, I'm not saying they're like for like, we might be able to switch around that midfield and have Canos on the right, or, you know, come in a little bit further, but, you know, we haven't got any worries, Bill.
Yep. Laney's confidence. So with your confidence, Laney, you need to give me a score prediction, please.
3-1 Brentford.
Oh, you've got 3-1 Brentford. We've got 2-1 Brentford in the Luton cap with Lewis and myself. I'm going to go 2-0 to the mighty, mighty Bees. So there you go. So listen, this is the Besotted Pride of West London podcast. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you for supporting, everybody. Thanks for the reviews, everybody. Go to iTunes, give us reviews. Go to Ko-fi, buy us a beer. Do all those things. Do whatever you need to do. Listen, it's all good. And if you're feeling really down, like I said to you, go to Calm. Go to the Calm line. When is the Calm line open, by the way, Lainey?
Calm line's open 5 p.m. till midnight every night of the week, I believe.
Absolutely every night of the week, so check that out. Definitely Calm, go to the Calm Zone on social media. Just go to Calm, just Google it and you will find it as well. But other than that, like I said to you, I'm Billy Grant. I feel a lot better actually, kind of after ridding ourselves from all the faff, you know, sort of all the gimmicks from this podcast. This is back to real podcasting, real football. We want our podcast back, as we say. So anyway, this has been good. Well, hopefully, Wednesday night, we can have a game. We can have a fantastic game. We can get 3 points against Luton and we'll be back on track. As we say, Lainey, as they say...
Well, before you say that, we might have another podcast later in the week with some of our gimmicky chums back.
We'll talk about that afterwards. We'll see, because I'm feeling so much better not having them on all this podcast now. We'll just see how it goes.
All right.
But anyway, let's see how we get 3 points or not on Wednesday, and then we'll make a decision, shall we?
Done.
As we say...
Come on, you bees!
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.